and welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Law Murray because I had some questions that only Law Murray could answer. Law Murray, of course, our Los Angeles Clippers beat reporter over at the Athletic. Law, it has been an oddly quiet summer for the Clippers.
I mean, I guess you could say that. I lean more heavily towards the odd part of that than the quiet part. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I got to ask you, why have we just forgotten about James Harden? I mean, we've talked about Damian Lillard probably 50 times as much as James Harden, but James Harden is available, it seems. He has asked for a trade. He's on an expiring contract. Seems like we should be hearing a lot more about James Harden, especially given the fact that this guy like actually plays a lot. Should be a valuable regular season piece, if nothing else, for some of these contenders. And we know that the Clippers have some interest, and James Harden's got interest in the Clippers. But, man, why have we just heard nothing?
Because he got fined, that's why.
Well, I mean, listen, was that about what he said in China, or was it a bit more than that?
I think it's a lot. Like, you got one team that lost draft picks, right, for doing things they weren't supposed to do the year before. And all the talk about what has happened between that offseason where the 76ers were docked a pick because of the conversations that led to James not getting more than, you know, James basically signed a 1+1 2022 offseason, right? You saw PJ Tucker and Daniel House, former Rockets, with James join that team. The goal was we're going to win a championship. And obviously, Daryl and the organization getting fined. Teams don't like to get fined. Like, I know people think that, oh, it's the NBA, they're rich, like, drop in the bucket. No, teams don't like to get fined, and teams don't like to get punished with that severity because you always have to keep in mind that the league reserves the right to reopen things that are seemingly closed. And so the approach this offseason, after they changed head coaches, missed the conference finals yet again, it was, there's different priorities. James' priority was getting paid because he sacrificed, or in his mind, he sacrificed, right? He had this difficult year and everything. And the Sixers are like, we're not going to pay him, man. No one else is going to pay him. You saw what happened with Ime Udoka, you know? I think that had as much to do with James played for Ime in Brooklyn. If there's one dude who was like, I'm not going to have James on a new program, it was probably going to be Ime. So that's a leverage loss for James. James has lost a lot. He didn't get to be an all-star. He didn't get his money. He didn't get to be on a championship team this year in Philly. Now, he might have got one coach out the paint, but that doesn't mean that the new coach is going to have his ear. That's Nick Nurse's situation. And so the Sixers are being quiet. James, he said what he said in China, but you know he hasn't quite said a whole lot since. And I think that and the Clippers, sure, heck, they're not the team in this situation. They are not the team that needs to make a move as far as like timing goes. They're willing to wait. They know what the calendar is. They know what the deadlines are. So that's why you haven't really heard a lot, because ain't nothing for anybody to really say at this time.
Okay, so where are we then? What's the latest on the situation? I mean, do the Clippers have interest in bringing in James Harden? I'll just start there.
I think here's what you need to understand about the Clippers and their kind of philosophy of things. The Clippers are a team that comes together, collaborates around the ownership, the head coach, the front office, the stars. Okay, those are four major stakeholders in terms of how personnel, in other words, everybody outside the stars and around the stars, are going to fit into something. So when if you look at James and you look, it's like, okay, with James, the ownership, that's the probably least significant part. I mean, Ballmer is got a pretty big priority. If you flew into LAX or out of LAX lately, you might have seen a little stadium going up. Yeah, like Steve is focused on that. Like Steve is like, can we get players that are going to help bring a banner into that arena in the short term? That is pretty much it. Now you flip to the front office. The front office, now we're really getting into personnel, right? And so Lawrence Frank has been pretty consistent about how he likes to have guards who can play around Kawhi and Paul George. That pretty much means guys who are not, you know, going to dominate the ball as much. Here's what's funny about that. James is obviously the most ball dominant piece in the league, arguably speaking. But the thing with James also is that he's a 6'5", big body dude too, who has the capability of being something of a threat if the ball's not in his hands. Is he a movement threat? No. But can he shoot the ball? Yes. And because of that body type, you can play different guys around him, which you can't do with other guys who are smaller with the same type of skill set. We might have been talking about certain players like that throughout this summer. So now let's go to the coaching staff. To Ron Lu, we know that while the front office will be like, yeah, we like big guards, or we like guards who can play off and off the ball significantly when Paul and Kawhi are running everything, T. Lu was like, you know what I'd like? A real point guard who can actually focus on ball handling and playmaking and pushing the pace. And so when it comes to Teron, Teron doesn't always focus on pace. Every coach loves pace, but every coach also realizes, oh, my guys are really slow and not going to run all the time. I might want to have some half court competencies and a system where everybody can play in. How that works for a guy like James is T. Lou would love to have another guy who can make pick and roll decisions. And James led the league in assists, for crying out loud. So it's not like James, you're asking him if he were to come to LA to play for T. Lou. T. Lou would be great at putting James in position to succeed. So there's a common factor there. You got T. Lou who'd be like, I can use James. You got a front office who's like, oh, a big guard who could be another option, especially something were to happen to Russ or something were to happen to Kawhi and or PG. There's something. You got Ballmer who's like, oh, is he good? Can he help? All right, cool. And then finally it comes down to the stars. And let me tell you, Kawhi and PG, they've talked about James. James has talked about those guys. So it all would fit as far as the major stakeholders would be concerned.
I mean, it would give them a real innings eater guy.
The only thing I'd push back on is James's durability hasn't been at that level, Dave. Like James hasn't played a 70-game season since 2019, since he was last playing with Chris Paul. So anything that I've written this offseason as it relates to why I think James would be a better fit than some other small guard or some other guard option is because the Clippers have a hole at the four right now. I think one of the solutions that the Clippers are going to significantly have to look at is downsizing. And so that means that instead of PG and Kawhi playing the 2-3, they would probably have to play the 3-4. And then you're going to have lineups where you're going to have more like-sized bodies 1-4 probably. Russell Westbrook is a small guard, but that guy plays up as far as size goes. He's physical. He's still pretty athletic, especially relative to his age. And with James, it's like you might ask him to play the bigger guys because of the body type that he has. James would be much more effective there than chasing some of these perimeter guys around, especially at his age and at his career workload, which I know we might talk about this later, but James is actually one of the few guys who are exempted from playing certain back-to-backs because of how many career games and minutes that he's played. Kawhi and Paul and even Russell Westbrook don't fit that. Russ doesn't fit it because he doesn't have the accolades. The stars don't fit it because they don't have the games and the minutes. So that is going to be interesting to see, like, if they could get James and keep Kawhi and Paul, which that's why you would be interested. You would never give up Kawhi and PG to just get a shot at James. It's like, well, how are you going to play with all those guys at the same time? Well, two things you got to keep in mind. One, the downsizing, and two, it's just a starting lineup. Starting lineups, I wrote a story about this to begin September. Starting lineups don't play much more than 10, 15 minutes together a game. Okay, and that's when everybody's available. There are several games, Dave, where you know that starting lineups for one guy or another, not even available. You can mix and match.
And the Clippers, I mean, listen, let's just be honest here. Part of this is that they would likely manage Harden's workload. You know what I mean? It would be exactly in their best interest to
he'd be
to
maybe part of the guys him, that you manage.
Yeah, to bring him down a little bit as far as minutes and even total games played. So you're right. Like that 75 games number is probably pie in the sky, but they wouldn't want it anyway. most likely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So as far as, again, let's talk about the fit. I mean, you know, would your best lineup have Harden, Kawhi, and Paul George in it? Most likely, I guess, going into camp today, you know, if you added him without, we'll say this theoretical piece, they don't lose anybody. You know, what does it look like? He's part of their top five, I'm assuming.
I would think he would be. I think they would try and explore what it would look like to have Russ, James, PG, Kawhi, and Ivica Zubats. Ivica Zubats is like, I said, there was one starting spot that was open for the Clippers going into camp. The point guard, Russ, the two stars on the wing, PG and Kawhi. If it's Zubats, even though they re-signed Mason Plumlee, look at what the number they got Mason Plumlee back for and what they extended Zoo for the previous offseason. Zoo is a rock-solid starter. He's a rim protector, one of the better rim protectors in the league. If you look positionally, he does a great job. And when that dude is just asked to finish possessions, he's really good at that. Like, obviously, Zoo's quite limited. You don't want him to do anything outside the paint. He's not one of the stronger passers in the league. He's not the most mobile guy in the league. But that dude is young, durable, and just incredibly good difference-making. You want to know why the Sacramento Kings dropped 176 points in that one double overtime game? You know who wasn't playing? Ivica Zubac. So that is a position that is set. James is, like, if you add James, your goal is to consolidate some of the flotsam you have at the four, and then, like, you know, you're going to have a spot open because Marcus Morris Sr. has been the starting four for this team anytime he's been healthy for pretty much his entire Clippers tenure. There are instances where he hasn't been, including the end of this past regular season and the beginning of the playoffs, but that's the spot. And you would have had James there from a lineup perspective. Kawhi and PG, the difference between those guys and so many other stars in the NBA, those guys came into the league being off-ball players. Okay, Paul George, when Frank Vogel had to take over for Jim O'Brien rookie season, Paul was barely even allowed to shoot the damn ball. And Kawhi came up under Pop. If you got, like, those are great stars to be like, okay, if we need you on the ball heavy, obviously they're great at doing that. But those guys love to pick their spots, and they actually welcome that. That's why both of those guys were like, hey, let's have a real point guard here, even though you guys think it might be less efficient sometimes. It's making those guys more sustainable. Because those guys not just have to focus on what their role is off the ball offensively, but then defensively, those guys are your best defenders and your best rebounders. There's a workload component to all of that. You talk about innings eating, right, Dave? James would be the guy who, if those guys need a break or those guys want to run different actions, you're going to ask Kawhi to be in the mid-post. You're going to ask Paul George to come off screened actions. James is a guy who can run all that stuff and allow those guys to focus on getting to their spots.
Yeah. And
in addition to Russ.
And do it without coughing the ball up too much, which is just, you know, valuing the basketball is really important.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics, and managing it as one big juicy investment. That's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Okay, let's move on from this theoretical James Harden, you know, trade to the Clippers and talk a little bit about a piece that you wrote over at The Athletic, because we've been making jokes about the Clippers and the player arresting policy since this policy dropped. And you wrote that this is actually an NBA problem, not just a Clippers problem. Like, this is pervasive throughout the league. And you actually had the numbers to back it up, which I appreciate.
Right. And shout out to John Krasinski, too, man. John K, he had another approach to it, you know, like, because John talked about the business of the league and where we are as far as selling the game. The NBA is in a really interesting spot where these TV contracts are coming up. You got a new in-season tournament to get people to pay attention more to the game before the playoffs and before all the, you know, when we're not talking about transactions, because a big part of the NBA conversation is, of course, who's going to change teams and whatnot. And the fact that so many guys change teams, it leaves a lot of these fans who are fans of one team kind of out the dust a little bit, because those guys keep, you're not building with one team as much. Ironically, the one team that has guys that have been building for a while is the Golden State Warriors. And those dudes, when you think of load management, it's like them dudes sat healthy dudes multiple times in the same NBA market, New Orleans. I remember that, you know, Steve Kerr had to talk about what he's doing. And then he was like, you know what? The NBA needs to just shorten the season or whatever. Stephen Curry multiple times was like, yeah, you guys got to understand this ain't about the players. And that's where I come in. Covering the Clippers, I mean, I've covered this team for The Athletic since January of 2021. Nobody has seen less as far as the potential amount of games I could have covered with Paul and Kawhi playing the mini.
Right.
Like, I spent a whole season
seeing them miss games.
Bro, I spent a whole season going coast to coast, time zone to time zone, and Kawhi didn't suit up not one time. The only time I saw Kawhi, like, oh shoot, Kawhi on the trip. He's sitting with the team on this one. Like, dude was trying to get back from a torn ACL, and people lose that empathy for guys who want to play. I saw Kawhi come back from a torn ACL last year, and dude didn't look like two-time finals MVP Kawhi until January, and people got the nerve to be like, oh man, Kawhi don't want to play. He trying to sit. It's like, that dude lost a year, another year, because if you remember what happened this last year in San Antonio, played 9 games the whole season. It's like people have been trying to get Kawhi to be able to maximize his exceptional talent for 6 years now. It's going on to a seventh year since the Zaza ankle thing, right? So I do get a little, you know, up in my feelings a little bit about guys saying that they don't want to play. I've seen Paul George play through some crazy stuff.
Well, it's easy the thing is, it's easy to target players. It's super easy. And yep. Then the second easiest is sports science in general saying, well, maybe we're going too soft on these guys. But no one ever brings up the greed involved in an 82-game season. And that's actually the reality of it, is that it's about the money and the toll on the human body, especially with the way that the NBA is played now. This is not 1980, where the majority of offense required, what, I don't know, 5 feet of movement for most players, if that. I mean,
court, maybe. Then centers, dudes was running,
centers
though.
Close out on 3-point shots from underneath the basket in today's NBA. And they do it on a regular basis. I mean, you know, this is, I don't know. It's not like the equipment has gotten that much better. I guess it has, but sports science has gotten so much better that we have lost sight of the fact that the game is completely different. The game in 1980 might as well be bowling. Now, given the activity difference.
But you know, the other thing about the 1980s versus now, we don't cover those teams and those players at the same detail as now.
Right.
You look now, you get on your phone now, there's an NBA conversation. Somebody's probably having a Twitter spaces about some crap they saw on Twitter right now. Imagine if that was the case.
Probably
in the
80s, Mike James move from the Monaco game that I saw earlier, but.
Did they
there's
keep
just
the,
real bad. There's real basketball.
Did they keep the
happening.
Sprinkler off?
Yeah,
at least
there's real basketball happening right now, but not NBA stuff. But no. I mean, to your point, man. I mean, it a lot of it is the way we consume media.
Yeah,
you know?
Micromanage the game right now, man. Like, we see any one thing we see, any one injury we see, we got so much going on. You know, like when the season starts, people are going to be hanging on to starting lineups, and I mean, I can't tell you, Dave, how many tweets I get, but hey, man, like, who playing? Who available tonight? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
why? Because of fantasy. Because of betting.
Fantasy,
because of
sports, and
all
gambling.
All that stuff,
yeah.
Man.
Exactly.
And so that's the other thing that you're looking at. Like, the scrutiny of the game. Like, guys are playing longer now. All those guys who were playing in the 80s, man, like, they'd be fortunate to have not just playing as long. You had guys who played a long time in the 80s, but the play and the quality of play in year 15. You don't see that, you know, in the 80s compared to now, you know. I'm about to cover Russell Westbrook in year 16. People take that man for granted. We talking about James Harden. James Harden is about to enter year 15 in the NBA. And, you know, again, led league in assists last year. Like, that's where we are in the NBA. That's where we are in coverage. So, yes, it would be nice to play guys as much as possible. That's the battle right now, is preserving these guys. And it's a lot of guys. It's a lot of talent in the league, Dave.
Yeah, well, also a lot of sports science is still, it's in its infancy to a certain degree, yeah. And they're still figuring things out. Well,
you saw what Silver said about, you know, the Sudafed reference.
No, I didn't.
Like, okay, well, I'll catch you up. He basically said that all the whole sports science conclusions are at a point where if Silver felt better about it, if Silver felt like it was more conclusive, he'd be preaching that to fans. Instead, he's saying maybe they're not seeing what they want to see from that, and that they're going to be pushing teams to back off the scheduled rest or whatever more. I'm interested to see.
I'll say this.
It's a team battle. It's a team battle.
We don't know if workload can necessarily, because you can't just draw a line to it. We don't know if the workload is too much. We don't know for sure that it's too many games. We don't know for sure that guys play too hard. But we do know that when people are hurt, that them playing doesn't help them get healthy. So a large part of this is just that. It's guys working through injuries who ought to be sitting. I personally don't care. I don't care about numbers and awards and all this stuff. I care about these guys being in their peak condition going into playoff time. That being said, the paying public, who, you know, ostensibly I do really care about, they deserve to know who's going to play on any given night. I think that the solution there is not some sort of, and this is the first time I've actually given an opinion on it rather than just talk through it, but the solution is fewer games. It is never going to be a policy that forces people to play or to even do these, maybe, like, you know, people have tossed out the ceremonial play, like these guys are going to be Keith Bogans out there and just start the game, play 8 minutes, and then sit. I don't think we're going to see that because, you know, people have a lot of pride. Also, numbers matter to a lot of people too. So I don't think that this is going to solve anything, but I at least like I can wrap my head around the league saying, well, we've got this TV deal coming up. We need to at least give the appearance that we're trying to make this a workable thing. I think about it much more for the paying public that go to the arenas, and, you know, we see every year some kid travels 800 miles on horseback to see Steph Curry, you know, in Minnesota, and Steph doesn't play. And then Man. We get the media cycle of players don't play enough. Oh, look, what about the – listen, I feel for everybody. It's an imperfect situation.
I think your point about – the fans and the public who are invested in their recreation and leisure, because that's what this is. For a lot of us, it's a job, it's a livelihood, but it's recreation leisure for us too. You know, like, let's just be real. The communication is what the NBA is going to try and need from these teams. Guys are going to get hurt. So don't obfuscate the situation. Like, give clear, consistent communication. When the Clippers did get fined, the only time the Clippers got fined over the last 5 years, because remember, this new PPP, the player participation policy, is an expansion of a player resting policy that came out in 2017 when nobody was thinking about the damn Clippers. You know, no one was thinking about Kawhi and Paul George as related to that player resting policy back in 2017. They were thinking about the Warriors not playing guys on national TV. They're thinking about Joel Embiid in his first NBA season healthy, playing, they wouldn't play him on back-to-backs at all. It's just about communication. And so, like, if you're going to have these injury reports that say probable, questionable game time decision or whatever, if you're going to have guys be like, oh, he's got a sprained knee or whatever, he's out indefinitely. No, like, communicate consistently and be like, make sure everybody's on the same page. When the Clippers got fined, they didn't get fined for violating the player resting policy in 2019 with Kawhi Leonard. They got fined because Doc said some things that the league looked at and was like, okay, so the Clippers are overall doing the right thing. Kawhi has a legitimate injury, but Doc talking about certain aspects of Kawhi's injury and maintenance plan did not match up with what we saw. That's what got them fined. And that's the only thing that got them fined for. There was another team, Dave, that got fined significantly more for violating, you know, player arrests and all that. It was the Dallas Mavericks. But I didn't see a whole lot of Luka and Kyrie and all them picks describing the articles related to the player participation policy.
Nope, I didn't make one single Mavericks joke this whole week, but we definitely talked about the Clippers a lot. I think we're going to talk about the Clippers a lot this season. Law Murray, thank you very much for joining me here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeForest. Stay tuned, because we'll have tampering coming up later on this week.